Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Ramble. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the spectacular Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Nothing much. Another great day in Wisconsin. It's been a great day, a great past couple of days for Wisconsin basketball teams. The Bucks did a big win over Houston yesterday, and Giannis Antetokounmpo showed why he's an all-star starter. Marquette upsets the number one ranked team in the country, Villanova Wildcats, today. And the Wisconsin Badgers beat Penn State today as well. So great for in-state basketball right now. Great past couple of days. Not saying it's making me forget about the Packer loss, but it makes it a little less painful seeing the Wisconsin sports teams, basketball teams doing so well. And I believe Milwaukee got a big win on Sunday too. So, but not a whole lot going on. Just, I wanted to share to the listeners, and I've shared this before, I want to share it again. I put on my Facebook and Instagram kind of a side-by-side between me from back in 2011 and today, and from that time I'm down about 132 pounds, and I always talk about the weight loss trend. I always talk about how much weight I've lost, and I think I sometimes put too much emphasis on what I've lost, and I don't talk about enough what I've gained. I lost 132 pounds, and it might sound crazy. What do you mean, what did you gain? Well, here's the thing I gained. I gained life, you know. I was miserable, didn't like where I was at 381 pounds. I didn't like where I was at physically, mentally, emotionally. I had little self-confidence. And what I gained by deciding to take charge of my life, I enjoy even more than the weight loss, because I do this show with you pretty much every night. I know we're down to four nights a week now for schedule purposes, but we're doing 5 nights a week for a while, 6 days a week for a while, actually. So I gained that. I never would have had the confidence to, be a guest on when you were doing it solo, let alone be a co-host for the show before I decided to make a healthy lifestyle change. I gained a great fitness family, people that helped encourage me, and I encouraged them to continue their fitness path. I also, like I said, I gained a life. The road I was going down, I was probably going to either A, need a lot of drugs to be healthy, or B, I'm on the path of an early death. And I gained a life, and I'm in best shape I've ever been in. I'm enjoying life, and I just have a completely new mindset, completely new thought process, completely new me, pretty much. And that's why I share it so much, and that's why I'm so passionate about it. And like I said, I think I stress too much sometimes about what I've lost in regards to weight, but that's not it. As I talked about what I just gained, and those are things I would never have gained or never have done if it wasn't for deciding to, make a healthy lifestyle choice. And if people are interested in learning more about it, they are interested in making a lifestyle change themselves, they might not know where to start or what they're doing is no longer working, all you got to do is shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com. I'm just here to talk to you about it. I'm not going to try to force you to buy anything. I'm not going to try to force you to do what I'm doing, but I'm here as a support. I'm here as somebody to help you, encourage you, push you, and, towards your goal that you want to accomplish. And, I don't care if you live in Olympia, Washington, or Boca Raton, Florida. You can live anywhere anywhere you want, and I can work with you. But I just want to share that with everybody. Like I said, I think I stress too much about what I've lost and not enough about what I've gained. So with that, how are things going out in Western PA?
Another day in the neighborhood. We're going to talk about some things, and now the season's over. So, hey, it was funny, Evan, this morning on Sports Talk Radio, it was, Todd Haley's got to get fired, and, Mike Tomlin's got to get fired, and then Big Ben goes on his radio show at 11 o'clock, and drops a bomb that he's going to contemplate retiring in the off season. Oh my, it was morbid yesterday, and then today it just got a little bit worse. So, you know, it happens when you lose. It's never fun to lose. I mentioned on the show last night as a Packer fan, it's done, it's over, going to move on. Never thought they would have got to the NFC Championship a month ago. I was actually tempted to call the show today, 93.7 The Fan, and just give some insight. Like, just take a deep breath, everyone. Because the Steelers were in the same situation the Packers were at 4-5. And when you look at it, and you know, Evan, I have not been on the McCarthy bandwagon, and I was not even on that shake the stick to fire him. I had mentioned in the season that he had to prove himself coach against Seattle. I actually look at it, and I think Mike McCarthy did a hell of a job coaching up in the last half of the season. And they made a run to the NFC Championship game. And where they were a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago, who would have thought? So I'm actually trying to look at the positive side of things and say, okay, happened. Ran into a great Atlanta team. But yeah, we've got some places to fix, and we'll critique them. And we're usually pretty good and harsh critiquers of the Packers. But oh my, Evan, if you could have been up here and listened to the radio and some of these people talking, Mike Tomlin needs to get fired. Haley needs to get fired. Keith Butler needs to get fired. And I'm thinking, what are you doing? Where does this come from? So I had to, like, laugh while I was driving to work. But I was almost tempted to call in and be like, whoa, you know, Mike Tomlin had this team on the ropes, or they were on the ropes. At some point, you know, you give little credit to Tomlin for helping put that big win streak together, and now they lose to New England and you want his head. So that's what's going on out here. It's almost like a little coup going on. But we're gonna have a great show tonight. Keep it on the football side. We'll talk a little bit about Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, a little bit of the NFL. But, you know, it's interesting, Evan, when you hear people talk and you know, I talk to a lot of fans, and they all, sometimes it's all emotion. It's sometimes not facts. So that's all I have.
Yeah, and, you know, like you're talking about the Steelers, and now we got to talk about the team that beat the Steelers to get to the Super Bowl, New England Patriots. Going for the 7th Super Bowl appearance in the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick era. And the talk around the sports talk shows on ESPN and all those, the conversation is now starting to turn into, where does Tom Brady rank as the all-time great quarterback in NFL history? Where does Bill Belichick rank as coach? Where does Tom Brady and Bill Belichick rank when it comes to in sports history? You know, you look at the Boston Celtics with Bill Russell and, you know, those guys. You look at the Chicago Bulls. You know, where does this Patriots team rank? Where do those two rank? And I thought this would be a good discussion point, especially with the, you know, is Tom Brady legacy tainted with the Deflategate and the Spygate? And me personally, Travis, I got to put Brady as one of the top quarterbacks in NFL history, if not number one. The typical argument is Joe Montana. And Joe Montana, great quarterback. I like Joe Montana. But the thing is, you look at the numbers Tom Brady has put up throughout his NFL career, especially this year, missing 4 games. He came in and looked like he didn't even miss a beat. I wonder what his numbers would have looked like if he would have played those 4 games. He probably would have had a few more interceptions in the regular season. But I'm astonished by Tom Brady. I don't have to necessarily like the person Tom Brady, but the quarterback Tom Brady, he is on another planet, and he has a chance to win his 5th Super Bowl in 7 tries. I know the argument people make because Joe Montana won 4. It didn't lose any, but my counter-argument to that is Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw once was a winner of 4 Super Bowls and didn't lose any, Does that mean Terry Bradshaw is as good as Joe Montana and Tom Brady? No. He had, you know, great talent around him. And you can argue Joe Montana had some great talent around him. But New England overall, what special players, aside from Tom Brady, has New England really had? There's Rob Gronkowski that can't stay healthy. There were some, you know, really good players on the early Patriots Super Bowl win, but no Hall of Famers. I think the only Hall of Famer you could really argue Tom Brady played with is Randy Moss, and he had one outstanding year in New England. But I put Tom Brady number one. I don't knock him down a peg or two based off the Playgate. And I also think too much emphasis is put on Super Bowl wins, on who's the greatest quarterback of all time or not. And I know that sounds crazy because here I'm arguing Tom Brady could win his fifth and he's the greatest. But his overall numbers, that's what I look at. And you look at what weapons he plays with, and he still gets the Patriots to the playoffs every single year. The Patriots on Sunday, Troy, this number, played in their 10th AFC championship game under Tom Brady. Their 10th. Charles Johnson, Megatron, only played 9 years total in the NFL. He's at his 10th. And if we are talking about Super Bowl rings on who has to be, you know, considered the best of all time and who's not, well, then you can argue that Trent Dilfer is just as good of a quarterback as Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees, because they only got one Super Bowl. So I say yes to Tom Brady being the greatest quarterback of all time, and I'm very curious about how much longer Tom Brady can play at the current level that he's playing at. But what are your thoughts? Do you think he's the best of all time, or if not, where do you rank him?
Well, sorry, I had to double-check my phone. My phone was beeping or something. Crazy technology. So I'm not one where – we've had this discussion before about ranking players due to era and due to different things. So I'll put it this way. Tom Brady of this era by far is head and shoulders above any other quarterback. I know that the comparisons come up with Joe Montana, Tom Brady. And so when I look at that, this is how I wanted to preface this. It's now a passing league. So when you compare numbers to Brady and Montana, you can. And then you look at it and say, okay, well, let's take Joe Montana, put him into today's world. And if I put Montana into today's world with Tom Brady still wins. Joe Montana, not taking anything away against Joe Montana. He is one of the first quarterbacks. He had a coach named Bill Walsh, where Walsh invented the West Coast offense. Montana was the catalyst, the guy that did it, you know, to a T. But you take Joe Montana and I put him into today's NFL, I'm not sure if he can make all the throws that would be necessary in today's NFL. And could you put Tom Brady back into the system Joe Montana was? Yeah, no doubt. No doubt you could. So I give the advantage there to a Tom Brady. You're right. You bring up the Super Bowl ring argument.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Bradshaw, it's funny because, yeah, he's got the ring. But I look at that Terry Bradshaw and basically – he rode on the laurels of a great defense, and he had a great running game with Franco Harrison. And I'm not going to take anything away from Terry Bradshaw. He had to make some throws, and he was a quarterback that had to get the job done. But honestly, I think there was a lot of other factors that went into the Terry Bradshaw era when you look at greatness of quarterbacks. And then, you know, the one quarterback, you know, the one rings. Brett Favre, only one ring. Aaron Rodgers, only one ring. Drew Brees, only one ring. Oh, then you got a guy named Trent Dilfer. He's got a ring. So, yeah, you could put him in the same class if you're just basing it on rings. It's just so hard, Evan, to say, is Tom Brady the best of all time? And if you're going to go just by Super Bowls, you can do that. But I don't taint his numbers. I don't taint his, you know, the success that he has. But there is one thing. And I listened to this and I read about this maybe 2 weeks ago. When you look at Tom Brady and you look at the division he plays in with the Bills and the Jets and the Dolphins, and I'm not taking anything away from those teams by any means, and I'm not taking anything away from Belichick and Brady. They've got to go out, they dominate, they do it. If they can't, and I'm not making excuses for winning, you never do. But he really has played in a division that has been pretty piss poor during his time. They've been the cream of the crop. And, hey, you don't fault them for that. You just say, hey, we've not put ourselves in a dominant position and you guys don't want to catch up, fine. We'll just cream you every year. So, you know, when you look at playoff appearances, then in the playoffs, though, he does well. So it's one of those you can't really say, well, he just gets there. Because not only does he get there, he gets you to the championship game, he gets you to the Super Bowl. You know, it's going to be a tough one in 2 weeks, but they have every opportunity to win another Super Bowl. They have a 50-50 chance. But I think you got to put him in the conversation of one of the best of all time. But again, to rank quarterbacks, I think you know me, you've been with me nearly 3 years. It's just so hard to go from era to era and say, well, you know, based on this and based on this, because there's a quarterback in Green Bay, Evan, that we think is a very darn good quarterback, but due to the era and the lack of passing opportunity is Bart Starr, a very good quarterback. But if you just compare numbers, Bart Starr is going to be always pushed to the bottom of the list because he was not on a passing team, nor was that the era. But a very efficient quarterback, a very accurate quarterback, darn good quarterback. And you got to look at him and say, you know, he's never going to get listed or mentioned with great quarterbacks because the lack of numbers. But some of that is lack of opportunity and the era he played in. So I like what Brady has done. He's definitely got to be mentioned as one of the best of all time. And Belichick, I'll just put it this way, Evan. Yeah, you can love him or hate him and say that he's a cheater and whatever. But, man, the guy can coach. And I don't think Deflategate and the Spygate, yeah, you look at it and it's almost like, why do you need to do that? Why? And I know that there's conversation about, is Belichick the best coach of all time? Well, like I said, Evan, goes back to kind of support where I was.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a division where the other teams are maybe mediocre. The Patriots refuse to fall into mediocrity. They found ways to continue to maintain dominance in that division and almost, I guess, almost challenge these other teams to catch up to them. And those other teams just can't do it. And so they just keep riding the wave. But when you look at what Belichick does, Evan, he's a coach that he may be, I guess what you would call vanilla at times, not flashy. He's going to put together game plans, and he doesn't care what name is on the back of your jersey. He's going to put together his game plan, and that's the way it's going to be. And if you don't like it, you can get out of town. AKA Jamie Collins in the middle of the season. A great player in New England. And Belichick decided just to ship him off to Cleveland. So I think what makes Belichick a special coach is that he's still one of those coaches where he can put his fist down, and that's the way it has to be. And it works. Now, I'm not saying all these other coaches are soft by any means. But you know what, Evan, when I was growing up, and I know it's a different era, but I grew up in an era playing where a coach could, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I never got physically abused, but I had coaches in my face, coaches grabbed my jersey, and you knew who the coach was, and you were almost scared of the coach. You weren't his friend, you weren't his buddy, wasn't high-fiving, pat on the back, outside of what is the sport. On the field, it was coach and player, coach and player. And I think some of that is going now, we talk about players, coaches, and different things of that nature, that's not Belichick. And it works. And there's that respect. And, you know, I think it was Tom Brady that said, he's the coach, I'm the player. And I think it works. And Bill Belichick is a good coach. So that's what I got. I know I rambled a bit there, so I'll turn it back over to you, let you comment on anything I said there, and we can move on with the show.
Yeah, before we jump on to the last topic, the thing I want to make about Belichick, and part of what makes him such a great coach is he doesn't care who you are. As you commented, Jimmy Collins, see you later, and full of guys who were cast off from a bunch of other NFL teams. Shane McClellan, for instance, he is a key player on this Patriot defense. And before this year, the only thing McClellan was really known for was the guy that broke Aaron Rodgers' collarbone. But he doesn't care who you are, and I was reading an article on Monday Morning Quarterback about Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's relationship. And Tom and Bill Belichick's not afraid to go after Tom Brady, jump down his throat, and that makes everybody else realize on New England, if he's willing to be hard on Tom Brady, no one's safe in that locker room. But Belichick, to me, is one of the greatest coaches of all time, and I know he wasn't very good in Cleveland, but he learned from his experience in Cleveland and turned it into, what he saw, not what he's seeing now. But 94 in Cleveland, they went 11-5 and made the playoffs. And I think that was the last legit shot Cleveland had at a championship. But then the following year, there's the rumor that they're going to move or not, and I'm sure that played a key role in Cleveland on why they went 5-11 the following year. But outside of 5-11, his first year in New England, which he inherited a big mess, he's never finished below 500, and he's only won less than 10 games once after year one. 2002, they went 9-7, and outside of since then, they've won 10 or more games every year. Even with Matt Castle as the starting quarterback, they went 11-5 and just missed the playoffs. So Belichick, I think, one of the all-time great coaches. So here's what I want to get your thoughts on. Ben Roethlisberger is uncertain about his future. He's unsure if he's going to continue to play or not. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did decide to hang it up, to be perfectly honest, Troy. He goes through a lot as a quarterback. He takes a lot of punishment. He's a big guy, and he gets hit often, and he gets hit a lot. So I wouldn't be surprised. But Ben Roethlisberger, using the R word, mum on his future, what is the talk out of Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger being unsure of his long-term plans in the NFL?
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny because I listened to the press conference. Well, not a press conference. He has a radio show, and he goes on 93.7 The Fan, the station that I listen to pretty much every day. And he got on that show, and he talked about, you know, all the pieces that are in place with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and he talked about the future looking bright with him and Antonio Brown. And then at the end of his show, he decided to say that he would take the off season and figure out what he wants to do. I don't think that it – let's put it this way. When you start getting to that mid-30s, I mean, that's where he's at, and you do take a beating and the injuries – Ben Roethlisberger is one of those quarterbacks who is always nicked up or hurt. I know that when he was in the walking boot, some people are saying he was faking it, and he's that kind of like an injury drama queen. But Big Ben does take a lot of hits. Now, this is the best I've seen this offensive line play in years, Evan, and I know that they allowed the fewest sacks, I believe, in his career. And it's an offensive line that, for all means, should stay together. I don't think he's going to walk away, but I think he's at the point now where it is a realization of where he's at in his career. I know that the hosts on The Fan think that he's going to play 3-4 more years, but it wouldn't surprise me. He said he wanted to be able to walk away from the game on his own terms, and that's where he's at. And that's where a lot of players want to be, Evan. when we see a lot of young players retiring early, I think a lot of it has to do with a lot of the research going on with brain injuries, even just regular football injuries. You see these guys that get arthritis and are having a hard time in life. And I think Big Ben, if you go back in his career, Evan, when he was younger, and I know it's water under the bridge now, but if you go back to that incident when I believe he was in Georgia and that sexual assault.
I thought it was in Pennsylvania, but yeah, maybe you're right, Georgia. I know there were Pennsylvania state troopers with off duty.
Well, I think it was Georgia because there was a farce with Devil went down to Georgia, and it was Big Ben went down to Georgia. And again, it's such a while back. I mean, that was that 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Tells you how much I care about it that I don't even know all the particulars, but we know the incident. And the point here is you look at where he was back then and you look at where he's been now, married, kids. And now when you listen to him talk, he brings up that family life a lot. And so I think as you grow up, as you get older, as you get married and have kids, he wants to enjoy that time. He doesn't want to be that quarterback that retires and just keeps playing and can't walk and can't enjoy his kids, can't enjoy life. So, yeah, that's going to creep into his head. And you can't blame him right now for thinking about it. He's getting to a point in his career where he's done this a long time. He has injuries every year. Playing quarterback is not the safest position in the NFL. And none of the positions are safe, but you're pretty much a sitting duck, and you can get blasted. Now, Big Ben's a bigger guy, and so we think he can absorb these hits, but I'll tell you what, Evan, a 300-pound guy hitting you is a 300-pound guy hitting you. And I don't blame him for thinking about life after football. Now, I think we have to remember sometimes that, yeah, we maybe idolize these guys and we think they're, you know, above human nature, but they're people. They're human. they hurt. They bruise. They have injuries just like you and I, and they do have families to go home to. So I think the reason it came up is that he's at that point in his career where now it's almost like going to be – I don't want to compare it to the Brett Favre era or situation where he retires and unretires, but it's kind of going to be like that where every year, is this the year now? 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 I think he's going to play maybe 2-3 more years myself, but he's going to start thinking about it. That's just part of what happens when you've played a long time and you get to the age of Ben Roethlisberger. So that's my quick thought there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, I don't know if this should be Roethlisberger's last year or not in the NFL. However, with him coming out, you know, I guess bringing this up now, if you're the front office for Pittsburgh, you got to start fighting for the future because the quarterback of the future is not current team. He's not. And I don't mean to be critical of the backups or whatever, but he's not on this current team. And if Roethlisberger does decide to hang it up this year for Pittsburgh, this would be the worst year possible because this is a horrible draft for quarterbacks. Next year's draft is much better. This is a horrible draft for quarterbacks, and they don't have the future of the team on the current roster. So, you know, but Ben's going to decide to do what's best for Ben. And I think at this point, as a football player, that's what you got to look at. It's not what's best for Pittsburgh. You got to look what's best for him. He's had a bunch of concussions in his day. One was not even on the football field. One was off the football field in a motorcycle accident. And as we talked about, he's taken a beating as a player. So I don't know what he's going to do, but I hope he at least comes back one more year. I love watching Big Ben play, and I think Pittsburgh has a chance to be very special next year if everyone stays healthy for all 16 weeks and they get a few more pieces of that defense and get another receiver to complement Antonio Brown. They could be very special next year. So that's my final thoughts of the show. So I'm going to throw it back to you to wrap things up so we can let the listeners go.
Yeah, I don't have anything else tonight. I mean, we're going to go to back to Wednesday night tomorrow night. So I know we haven't had a lot of Twitter interaction lately. So for those listening, and find Evan and I on Twitter, at Evan with Sports, at TroyRobert967. Let's get some, you know, sports chat going on. Find Evan and I on Twitter. Call the show. You know, call the show. Join us. And let's talk some sports. You know, I know football has ruled the roost here for 2 months, Evan. But now it's time to get back into Twitter talk, start talking about, you know, some of the other sports going on. You got college basketball going on. You got NHL hockey going on. We've got the NBA going on. I know that, you know, we still have the Super Bowl, but, you know, it's time now to, you know, dust off the other sports, I guess is what we'll say of it. Dust them off and bring them on the table, because we haven't talked about them a lot here in the past couple of months. It's been primarily football. So it'll be exciting to start talking some NBA, some college basketball, some NHL, and like you said last night, Major League Baseball right around the corner, coming right up. So we're going to dust off the other sports, bring those back onto the table. So again, find us on Twitter, at Evan with Sports, at TroyRobert967, or, you know, the show account, at Red Light Sports. Tweet at us, follow us, give us your thoughts, and let's have a sports conversation. For Evan Wichallison, I am Troy Otradovic. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night, 11 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Central. Have a good night, everyone.